What he was telling them is, you must change your mind about a lot of things. Amen. That's what repentance is. You know, before I knew less than I know now, one of the main things in my life that was important to me as a young man, teenager really, I had a good mother. She read the Bible to me. She only had my sixth grade education, so she didn't read that well, but she read the Bible to me. I remember so much. She would read the Bible to me, and I don't know if she read it this way to my sister, but because there's 7 years difference in our ages, but she would call God God, and God said, but you have to understand, she only had a sixth grade education, but she was not a dumb woman. She was very smart. Amen? Yeah, she was very smart. But she would read to me the Word of God. And the Spirit of God would deal with me as a child, even as a young child, you know. And I would love to hear her read the Bible. By the way, let me say this. This was good for us. We did not have a television, so we didn't have that distraction. As a matter of fact, this was back in the 50s, mid-50s. As a matter of fact, we didn't even have electricity, in the house that we were living in. Now, you probably don't remember that. You do? Okay. But we didn't have electricity, so we certainly couldn't have a television, but we did have a radio. And it was one, this gigantic thing, and my daddy would go occasionally and buy this gigantic battery and attach it to the radio, and we would listen to gospel music and so forth. That's what they listened to on the radio until the battery was drained. Then we had to wait until he got enough money to go get another one. So that's the way it was. But my point in all this is, she read the Bible to me. She read the Bible to me, and I would listen because there was no other distractions. There was no other distraction. She read the Bible to me, and I wanted Jesus. Now, here's the thing is, my mother didn't know how to lead me to the Lord. Back in those days, you got your religion. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You got your religion. So you had to wait to a certain time when they had a service at church. At least that's what I thought, and I think that's what she thought too, because she always told me when August or whenever it was to have the meeting, you're going down to the altar and you're going to pray and you're going to get your religion. That's what it was called, religion. And then I was praying that I didn't die before, because I'm saying all this to you, and I believe it's helping somebody, but I'm saying all this to you for this reason. I wanted to get saved so that I would have fire insurance. Anybody else ever been where? In other words, all I knew is I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. And my mother used to sing an old song that they sang when, and she was a child, it was an old song back in the 20s, maybe older than that. And I don't even know the name of the song, but she sang a little bit to me one time, and some of you may have heard it also, but this is the part that stuck. I don't remember any of the other words, but this really stuck with me. It says in the song, and some of you my age, you might remember, maybe you've been told, but it says, everybody talking about heaven ain't going to heaven. Anybody, okay, I'm not by myself. That was in the song, and I thought, my goodness, you know, what is it going to take? What is it going to take? But everybody talking about heaven ain't going to heaven. Well, now I understand that, because there's a lot of folk talking about heaven, but they ain't living for God. They ain't even born again. Amen? There are folks sitting up in churches today. You're not going to heaven because you go to church. You go to heaven because you're born again. You go to heaven because you're washed in the blood. Amen. I said amen. Praise God. So, let me get back to where I was about 10 minutes ago. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, or let's say it this way, Savior and Lord, because He saves us and we need to let Him be Lord over our life. And so I didn't understand the Lordship growing up, but I understood that I needed to be saved. But guess what? As I got into the Word of God and heard the Word of God preached, I found out there's some things I needed to change in my life because I wanted to please my Lord and Savior. I wanted Him to be my Lord. I want him, even as I stand before you now, I want Him to tell me one day, and y'all just don't know, man, I'm serious about this thing. I want Him to tell me one day when I stand before Him, I want Him to look at me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I hope you feel the same way I do. Amen. That's having a heart to please God. Having a heart to please God. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, let's move on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Who is Jesus to us? Yes, He's our Savior. He's our Lord. And of course, I won't go into it like I did last week, but He's also our place of rest. If you were here last Sunday, Jesus is a place of rest. Amen. He is our place of rest. Hallelujah. And you find that in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He is our place of rest. Now, you need to know this. Hear me real good. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our peace. Let me tell you something. Folks are trying to find peace in all the wrong places. When I was in service in the early 70s, I remember guys walking around putting up two fingers, says, peace, yeah, peace, brother. Peace, peace, peace. A whole lot of folk were talking about peace, but most of them did not know what real peace was and is. Listen to me. Real peace is found in Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Real, genuine peace is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We must keep our eyes fixed on Him and His promises. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah, the 26th chapter. Isaiah, the 26th chapter. Let's drop down to verse 3. Listen to this. You will keep him in perfect peace. Stop right there for a minute. You will keep him in perfect peace. Wow. Whose mind is stayed on you. See, that's the reason we need to be careful what we watch. We need to be careful what we hear. What goes in through your eye gate affects how you act and think. What goes in through your ear gate affects how you act and think. That's the reason we shouldn't listen to any and everything. That's the reason we shouldn't be watching any and everything, because it can get on the inside of us. I remember back in 2020 when COVID-19 was being talked about everywhere, and please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that COVID-19 was not serious. It was very serious. Folk died. Yeah. Folk died. But I want to tell you something. I saw folk literally panic because of it. I mean, they were frozen in fear. Folks, there is wisdom. Everybody say wisdom.
Wisdom.
There is wisdom. And God will give us wisdom. He will lead us and He'll guide us. He'll give us wisdom in things, what we should or should not do. But when fear grabs a hold of you, it takes your peace. And that's the reason it tells us in 2 Timothy, 1st chapter, the 7th verse, it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. But what He has given us is power. He's given us love, and He's given us a sound mind. That way, when something comes down the pipe, God has an answer. God, you hear me? God has an answer. Amen. And again, I'm not minimizing the seriousness of this pandemic, this thing. I'm not minimizing the seriousness of it. But that's the time for us to get in the Word and go to God in prayer Ask God for his wisdom. Listen more to what God says than what man says. Because man can have ulterior motives. You still listening to me? Man can have, man is known to deceive. Matter of fact, Jesus said in the last days there would be deceivers. People would be deceiving and being deceived themselves. Amen. And I'm in no way advocating going out being reckless and careless. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we need to be grounded in the Word of God. We need to be grounded in the Word of God. And know that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us power, love, and a sound mind. And as we see here in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace. But it does not stop there, does it? Read the rest of it. Hallelujah. Whose mind is stayed on him, trusting him. Amen. The Bible says he'll keep us in perfect peace. Yes. He will direct our path. He'll tell us what to do. We'll know what to do. Amen. And how to do it. Because Jesus is our peace. Glory to God. Are you still here?
Amen.
Now let me read it again. I was going to read verse 3 and verse 4. Verse 3 again. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Listen at this, verse 4. Trust in the Lord for how long?
Forever.
You trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, the Lord, now I'm reading from the New King James Bible. The King James Bible says the Lord Jehovah in capital letters. In the Lord Jehovah. Is everlasting strength. He's everlasting strength. Think about David. All that he went through. And I mean, he had run for his life. I mean, you know, they was after him all the time. Even at one point in time, his own men turned against him and they were ready to kill him. He went through a lot. But this same David glorified God. And we read it in the Psalms today. He penned, as he was moved by the Holy Spirit, he penned the goodness of God. He talks about the faithfulness of God. Even in the midst of all of his trials that he went through, he said, God is faithful, God is good.
Yes.
And God keeps me from harm.
Yes.
All harm and all danger. God knows about today, the day that we're living in today. Amen. He knows about it. But I'm here to tell you, God is a keeper. If we'll keep our eyes on him, he'll keep us in perfect peace. If we'll keep our eyes on him. But if we get take our eyes off him and put them somewhere else, The direct opposite of faith is fear. Y'all hear me tell the story sometime. I'm sure if you've been driving any length of time, you probably encountered the same thing. And you've heard me tell this also. Them little squirrels, they are something else. But they are a good example of what we shouldn't be. And in my neighborhood, they run back and forth across the road all the time, and every now and then I'll see one that didn't make it. But what those little fellows will do, they'll see you coming. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And now they're frozen in fear, and they think, they're crossing the road, and then they see you coming, and they'll think, he'll stop and say, should I go on or should I go back? Oh, what should I do? Should I cross or should I go back? Oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, ka-thonk. That's what fear does to a person. But when you have God's word to stand on, when you believe God, you know what to do, when to do it, and how long to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to read, I read this one a good bit. Praise God. My wife told me that at one time she didn't particularly like this verse, but it's in the Word of God and she loves it now. Don't you? John chapter 16, verse 33. And it says this. These things, this is Jesus speaking, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have what?
Peace.
Huh?
Peace.
That in me you may have peace. And then he went on to say, and this is the part that she has some issues with, but she good. In the world, you will have tribulation. In the world, you'll have tribulation. You're going to have some trials. But then I'm so glad that Jesus didn't stop there, you know. He said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Brother John, that tells me whatever we face in this life, number one, it didn't catch God by surprise. And number two, Jesus has already overcome it. And if he overcame it, that means I can overcome it. Through him, I can overcome it. I said, through him, I can overcome it. Through him, we can overcome anything. Hallelujah. Those are powerful words there, folks. Glory to God. He said, be of good cheer. Don't sit around crying and whining and complaining. Say, be of good cheer.
Yeah.
Because whatever it is, you already know you have the victory. And guess what? Knowing that fact brings peace. You can bless the Lord when you don't feel like it. You can bless the Lord when all you hear around you is bad news, bad news, bad news. You make a decision, I refuse to let that get on the inside of me. I'm going to praise God and I'm going to walk and live in the peace of God. Hallelujah. And I've found from my experience, a lot of the bad news is not coming from the outside, the world. It's coming from the church. Yeah. Christian folks. Yeah. I've talked to folks, I felt worse after they left than I did before they got there. And these were my own brothers and sisters in the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just going to give you these real quickly. You can just write them down. We won't go there. Maybe I might go to Isaiah, but Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Just write this down. And it simply says that we have the peace of God. Yes. We have the peace of God. It's been given to us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us, He Himself is our peace. Isaiah chapter 9, let's go there. Isaiah chapter 9. Now, we usually read this around Christmas time, but you know what? It works 365. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, For unto us a child is born. That's Jesus. Amen. Amen. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And listen at this. Are you ready for this? And his name will be called. And his name will be called. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Finish that verse. He's what? Glory. Hallelujah. He's the Prince of Peace. That's my Jesus. Glory be to God. And I'm getting ready to close this out, but I want to, I read part of this to you last week. And I want to go back there again this week, Philippians chapter 4, and we'll close there. Philippians chapter 4. Now, last week I read to you verse 6, which says, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, what are we to do? Be anxious for nothing. Amen. Don't panic like the squirrel does. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And by the way, before I read 7, your request can also be asking God for wisdom in a given situation. Matter of fact, James says, if any of us lack wisdom, let us ask of God. Let us ask God, but ask him in faith. Amen. Ask him in faith. That's one of the things. During 2020, 2021, during this time of the pandemic, I asked God for wisdom. Lord, I just want your wisdom. I want to walk in your wisdom. Walk in your, you, Lord, you give me wisdom. And guess what? Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses what? It surpasses what?
All understanding.
Folk will look at you and say, why are you so happy? Why are you smiling? Haven't you heard? Haven't you heard? Haven't you heard? Haven't you heard? Why aren't you crying? Why aren't you sad? No, because I walk in that peace that passes all understanding. Verse 7 again as I close. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will do what? Through Christ Jesus. Amen. Put that on the screen for me, please. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Philippians 4, 7. Okay, there it is. Let's read it again as we close. Go back to verse 6. We were here last week, but it doesn't hurt to go back again. Faith comes by hearing, right?
Yes.
Not by having heard. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Amen. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your
mind.
See, this is what we have a problem with right here.
That's right.
Right here. Right here. Will guard your hearts and minds how?
Through Christ Jesus.
So if you're troubled, let's go to the Word. Find out what God says. Get wisdom from God. Seek God. Now, don't get me wrong. There's absolutely nothing wrong with godly counsel, but you better make sure you're getting godly counsel.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And the peace of God will keep us. Amen.
Amen.
Well, bless the name of the Lord. Give the Lord a shout of praise, will you? I'm so glad he knows how to keep us. Let me tell you something. How many of you want to hear from God? If you want to hear, you want to hear from God. I'm speaking in a personal way. You want to hear from God. Amen. Do you know one of the easiest ways to hear from God is when you, your mind is at rest. And you can hear him clearer. But when things are screaming at you, yak, it's not as easy to hear God. God loves each and every one of us. And God wants to talk to you as much as he does me or anybody else. I want you to know something. Not me or any other minister is more important to God than you are. Because the Bible plainly tells us God is not a respecter of persons. Aren't you glad he's that way?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for that.